Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We coming to H-Town. Let's get to work in, man. Let's go.
Great day. Great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Let's do it.
Hey, what's happening, everybody? Happy Monday to all of you. Nice to be with you. Appreciate you getting up with us. Hope you had a great weekend. We are with you till 10 a.m. this morning, and the next two mornings afterwards. We means myself and Brandon Scott. B. Scott in for Pope Zaza, Seth Payne for the next few days.
Dude, what a hell of a week to be in with you, too.
I know.
I mean, we're in the thick of it with the Astros, yeah. And what a series they had over the weekend. We're going to talk plenty about that. But training camp starting this week, and we'll be out there to start it, basically to kick things off, man. Yeah. I cannot wait. I'm so glad to be here, man.
Wednesday, it's good to have you, as always. I love getting to chop it up with you, B. Scott. If you want to get in, text page is 713-572-4610. You can get us on YouTube and Twitch as well. It was a big weekend. Let me back up on the Astros here for a second.
I thought it was a hell of a weekend to lose two out of three.
Well, it was, I said going into the weekend, and this is before they lost Isak Paredes. My God, we'll talk about that. Goodness. The medical situation got worse for the Astros this weekend, at least in terms of the number of bodies. Guys that are already on the injured list are progressing in the right direction. But the number of players on the list is going in the wrong direction right now.
Number of players and importance of players going in that direction now.
No doubt. You've got your two everyday players that made the All-Star team are now both on the injured list, with Jeremy Peña and Isak Paredes joining him on there with a hamstring injury that did not look good from the second he pulled it on Saturday. This wasn't one of those ones. This wasn't a Nico Collins hamstring where he scored a 78-yard touchdown, celebrated with his teammates. Didn't look like anything was wrong, and then the next thing you know, he's missing the next 5.5 games.
Give us hamstrings like Nico Collins.
Yeah. Well, and not to throw shade, like Isak is in a different physical state than Nico. Looks like he was built in a lab.
I think that's fair. Not shade. That's Isak, let's just look at the guy.
Isak straddles a line between beer league softball and Major League Baseball. So he looks more likely to get a hamstring injury, and his hamstring injury looked nasty. Pulled it about halfway down the line. But I want to talk about the weekend overall, and I want to talk about yesterday. I said going into the weekend, knowing this triage situation that we're kind of in right now with the Astros, B. Scott, medically, and knowing that they limped into the break collectively as a team, they were all limping into the break. I went into this weekend, sounds like a loser's mentality, especially going against the Mariners who can't get out of their own way historically.
Right.
But I would have said, you know what? I would sign up for 1-2 right now just to keep them at 4 games back. You're going to get guys back here. I would just win a game. Just don't get swept. Keep them at least a series worth of games behind you here. And they got beat Friday, resoundingly. The Saturday game was highly entertaining, but they lost that one too.
One of their more entertaining games of the year.
Yeah, if you didn't have a dog in the fight and you just sat down and watched that baseball game, you were entertained by that game. If you're a sit down and watch a baseball game person. Yesterday's game, I think, is the biggest win of the year so far. And they were down 3-0. They were dead. They had a minor league lineup out there on a Sunday. They had a Sunday lineup.
Yeah.
Like they had an ultimate Sunday lineup. They were down 3-0. Hunter Brown's knocked out of the game because his pitch count gets way the hell up there. So that's still a concern to a degree, is Hunter Brown. But then 11 straight runs yesterday.
Yeah.
You know, and some of it was Seattle not, you know, J.P. Crawford dropping a pop fly.
Yeah.
Later in the game, J-Rod misplaying a Taylor Trammell. You know, probably should have been a tough out. Instead, it was a double.
How about Taylor Trammell?
And Taylor Trammell.
Go get him.
He'll get acknowledged in an hour and 16 minutes, Taylor Trammell will, on Acknowledge Me. But I think that, to me, that so far is the biggest win of the year. Given where they were in that game, just left for dead. Four innings in, they're dead. I was this close to being in channel-changing mode. And then they explode. On by the way, on Wu, they're all-star.
Yes, there we go.
You know, okay. Like, your all-star is scuffling, their all-star is dealing, and then the gods just step in the fifth inning and say, nope, not your day, Mariners.
Yeah, the biggest thing is to do it against Wu. And with it being this lineup, it's got to make you feel good, at least about the prospects of not being at full strength for a while. We don't know how long Isak Paredes is going to be out.
Yeah.
We already understand that Jeremy Peña has been out for a significant amount of time already. Jake Myers, the list kind of goes on and on. But I was different from you going into this series of saying, hey, I'll concede 2 out of 3. I didn't feel that way because they were reeling going into the All-Star break. Because, like, to me, the 1-5 going into the All-Star break made this series even bigger to me. Mm-hmm. Like, it put even more weight on it. It's like, hey, these guys are already on your heels. You were reeling going into the break. Just the math of it. Now, it's not going to kill you, but it would help a lot to win 2 out of 3 as opposed to lose 2 out of 3. Yeah. But that being said, if you're going to lose 2 out of 3, this is the way to do it. Like, to still go out there and play some kind of reputable baseball that you can be proud of. Of course, we talked about Saturday being the type of game. Like, you go 11 innings and you lose on the road, you can accept that. And the fact that the way that the extra inning rules are designed now with the extra man on second base, it's not designed for extra innings to last up until the 11th inning anymore.
No.
That's the whole point of it.
Yeah.
And the fact that that happened and we had that back and forth and it was exciting of a game. I will take losing if you entertain me. But then if you especially back end it with game three, with Sunday's game, and to do it against an all-star pitcher with a, let's just be generous, call it a minor league-esque lineup where Taylor Trammell's out there the player of the game, I'll take that.
I think, you know, you bring up Saturday. Like, this team's got an incredible ability to turn the page within games. During that long streak they had where they were the best team in baseball for the month of June, they were winning a lot of games where I won't say they looked like they were dead like they were yesterday. But, you know, they're big in late innings. They've been great with two outs. For a team that is a little challenged offensively, they are situationally. They've been very, very good since May. But that loss, that was not just your garden variety extra innings loss on Saturday.
Yeah.
You know, you came back in that game. Again, they looked kind of dead in that game too. And then they score 4 runs in whatever inning it was to take the lead in that game. A lot of it with 2 outs. You know, Cam Smith grounded into that double play. It looked like it torpedoed the inning.
Yeah.
And then they score 4 runs after that. So the way they lost though in extra innings, the ball hitting off the nub of, I forget who the hitter was.
How unique is that?
I've never seen it before.
Right. I mean, how unique is that?
And the heads up of the base runner on third, I think it was Raleigh who was on third, you know, to actually run home, you know, because it looked like he beamed him. So the ball's dead at that point if he did bean him, you know? Like, so it was
But it also makes sense why the guy even acted like it beamed him, because it did hit the nub of the bat, which is basically the hand.
It kind of shocks you a little bit,
but not
probably.
Quite. Well, yeah, and I'm sure it shocks you, and you can kind of feel the reverb.
Yeah. So the way they lost on Saturday and losing Isak Paredes in that game, I mean, that was a devastating loss.
Yeah.
And to bounce back the way they did on Sunday, I thought was a lot of what this team has been about this year, man. This team is built on guts and a lot of gauze bandages and duct tape.
I don't want to get hyperbolic just 8 minutes into the show, but it did feel like a great value brand 2017 World Series-esque where it feels like they win and lose the game at least twice before the game is over, whether they actually win or lose the game. It feels like, you know, if you're not inclined to go all the way in and watch all 9 innings and you just kind of give up on a simple result in an inning, you're like, oh, that team's going to win. That happened at least 2 or 3 times over the last 2 days.
Yeah, no doubt. And we should point out, too, that it gets lost in the shuffle because the final score is 11-3 and the Astros ran it up on them in the last few innings. But when that was still a game, when it was 5-3, the Astros had taken that lead in the fifth or sixth inning, whatever it was. The play, the double that Taylor Trammell, you know, it looked like Hummel. I don't know if he misplayed it, but he didn't make the catch.
Right.
Trammell is there backing him up.
Yeah.
Throws an absolute dime of a
relay.
Trammell's
in center. So
in center.
It happens in left center.
Yeah, in left center.
And Trammell comes and covers
the play. Trammell comes, gets the ball, gets it to Dubon, who's playing shortstop. Dubon throws an absolute to home plate. And at first called safe, on replay called out. And if they don't get that replay overturned, if they don't make that play, it's a very, very different baseball game. That got them off the field in that inning.
Yeah.
You know, that ended the inning. When they overturned the run at home and they called it an out, Astros were off the field instead of being, you know, 2 outs, 5-4 with a runner in scoring position. Instead, it's 5-3 and the inning's over. And it's on to the next inning. That was That was a massive play. And boy, just talk about a game of inches. The runner is sliding. His cleat pops up at the last second over the top of home plate. It was crazy, man.
Yeah, it was. And that play had to be challenged.
Like, it was originally safe.
Yeah, I mean, he's called safe to begin with. And so shout out to replay and all of that. But the thing, so a theme here for me with the Astros is, even with all of this calamity around them, they do the little things and the simple things really well.
Yeah.
So, like, they're able to go out there with a minor league-esque roster or a minor league-esque lineup, but because they have good at-bats, they play good defense, they run the bases well.
Yeah.
They're not. Their slugging is still an issue. Even when they're full speed, they don't slug the way that we're used to, the type of Astros that we became used to over time. But they do all of these simple things really well that make them a compelling team and make them a team that is a threat even when they don't have their best guys out there.
Yeah. That was one of those wins yesterday. Like, all right, I'm just going to – if I were on the plane I with the team, I'd be like, all right, we're going to celebrate this one because that's what you do. But this is – there is – boy, there is still a lot to be concerned about with this baseball team. This Isak Paredes injury is huge.
Yeah.
It's a huge injury.
Well, it ended up as fun of a weekend as it was to in all the back and forth that we just talked about. That ended up being the biggest story, at least to me, of the weekend. And you can throw in Lance McCullers and him scuffling and that being kind of a continuing ongoing story. What are you going to get out of Lance McCullers? What's the best place for him? I think that's his own thing. But in terms of like just straight up developments and headlines and news, Isak Paredes being out for however long he's going to be out. I know he came back to Houston yesterday to get that hamstring looked at further, but that ended up being the biggest development for the Astros over the weekend.
Positive development there. I would say still a little bit scary that Hunter Brown has now gone three straight starts and not looked like the version of Hunter Brown that got him on the All-Star team.
Right.
That's a concern. And then I would say the good news, it seems like, going on, knock wood, with the especially the pitchers that are in this rehab stage right now. You know, Spencer Arrighetti, nice outing. Luis Garcia. Although it looks like he's totally changed his throwing motion. Did you see any of the highlights of Luis Garcia?
I did. I don't know what to make of Luis Garcia.
Yeah. If he gets guys out, then great. But
just the time that it's been, and then you come back, you know, you don't see him for 2 years, and then you finally see him, and he looks different.
Yeah.
It's an odd feeling.
Jonathan Singleton's back. That's phenomenal news.
Oh, man.
They're 1-0 with Singy back.
I am waiting on the bat flip single that is for sure awaiting us.
All right, we got Texans training camp coming up this week. B. Scott and I will be out there on Wednesday. We'll be out there 6 a.m., bright and early. We're getting it kicked off for you guys here on Sports Radio 610. Along those lines, we got a lot of new faces. Power ranking the new faces and our excitement level of seeing them in a training camp environment. Text in 713-572-4610. I've got my list right here. We'll go through B. Scott's as well.